Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sales is King. This is Dan Sixsmith. I'm your host. Glad to be with you. And we've got another great guest on our show today, Justin Chi, who is the founder and CEO of Cold Email Hackers. Justin, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
So this is going to be a great episode because there's, you know, so much being discussed right now about, you know, prospecting and SDRs and how to break through all the clutter. So I'm excited to get into this. But let's talk a little bit about you and how you got here. Tell us a little bit about how you first got interested in sales and selling and a little bit about your early career.
Yeah, so how I got into sales, I mean, I've always known sales to be a skill I needed. So I started a company a while ago and it completely failed. Like, we talk about that all day long. Completely failed. Spent a couple of years just drifting around, figuring what to do next. I started a couple of ventures here and there, just again, those failed as well. So I realized what I needed to succeed as ventures, what I was failing was basically sales. Got into tech sales, worked at a startup for about 6 months or so, and then ZoomInfo got me in, and I just blew out of the water. ZoomInfo, first startup, I did well, number one there, but wasn't like crazy numbers. But ZoomInfo is where I kind of figured out, okay, we can leverage email, we can send automated emails to book meetings. And it was a lot easier back then. Like, you didn't have to do all this like crazy multi-domain deliverability, like super technical stuff back then. Mm-hmm. But that kind of led me to start my company, because at ZoomInfo, you know, I was booking a ton of meetings. We were emailing sales and marketing leaders. They liked the emails I was sending. Mm-hmm. And three of them basically signed me on to work for them as a side hustle. And that was the first 6 months, right? First 6 months, I didn't even know I wanted to go full time with this. But 6 months working with these three customers, completely failed. Like, I had no results, no nothing. And we kind of figured out it was a couple things. Basically, the first part of it was obviously deliverability, right? Like, ZoomInfo has a big brand name. Their domain's been around for a while. And I don't know how it is there now, but back then, if your domain's been around for a while, like, you can send emails, you're good. So I had to figure out how to get out of spam for these companies that have been around that long. And that's a story in and of itself. But the second part is, you know, emailing for a big brand like ZoomInfo is completely different than emailing for a startup or a smaller company. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had to figure out how to cut the fluff, right? Like, not rely on the brand name. How do we speak to customers or potential customers and write a message that resonates with them? And then, you know, 6 months we did that, and I went full time on Cold Email Hackers. So this is my full time gig now. I work about 15 customers or so.
Wow. That's amazing. So at ZoomInfo, so what were you doing necessarily that was working that had you kind of blowing up there? What was your secret sauce?
Yeah, so not much secret sauce, and it comes back to targeting, although the targeting back then was much easier, right? So obviously we would look for people that just hire maybe VP sales or whatever, or people that have XYZ number of SDRs. But frankly, a lot of what we did was just people who had engaged with us in the past. So we have such a big CRM, as you've been told, so many people that we talked to. I just load up lists and say, like, hey, you spoke to this person before. You know, are you familiar with ZoomInfo, et cetera? We just ran them. So, of course, the message was very simple.
Yeah. So you had some, as you said, you had some kind of brand equity with ZoomInfo, right? And then when you kind of move into smaller companies, it's a little more difficult. So how do you change the messaging for less known kind of companies?
To get
people's interest.
That's definitely like the pretty important part of this, right? So I would say generally, if it's really really early stage, like you have no customers, like, that's something the founder has to figure out, but being frank. But if it's a case where you have some customers and maybe, you know, even if they're customers you got the referrals, you just want to talk to the customers that you have and kind of figure out why they're buying from you. Try to get as much information, right? Like, what industries are your customers in? What specific pain points do you solve? And we just kind of write everything down on a list. And we try to do things a bit more manually, right? So I know everybody's talking about like AI, data scraping, all that stuff, like how to write AI messages at scale. And that's something we do, but we don't start like that. Generally, it's like we break up under segments. Maybe, I don't know, let's say for like ZoomInfo, like sales, right? Like, we're going after VP sales, but there's a lot of different industries that have VP sales. So maybe we break it down to like marketing agencies. Within marketing agencies, there's like SEO agencies and there's web design agencies. So how do we speak specifically to this very narrow subsegment? And then how do we write campaigns for all these different subsegments? And then find the similarities between them, right? Because like the messaging, the tool ultimately does one thing. This is for SaaS, right? But the tool or service ultimately solves for one main problem. So we write a bunch of campaigns, look at the differences between each campaign, and then we try to reverse engineer it. So,
Yeah, I love that because I guess it's like you have to try and personalize, but at the same time, you have to be able to scale it, right? So how do you strike that balance between making the prospect feel like you know them, but not taking every single email and making it kind of a personal email, right?
Yeah, and this first part is just kind of understanding what makes them tick in the first place, like relevance versus personalization. So right. Figuring out the relevance first, and then you can. There's a bunch of tools out there like Clay, GPT for Sheets, whatever, and you can just load a list and reverse engineer those prompts, whatever. But to understand what prompts to use, you have to kind of understand what works in the first place. So that's how it works.
Love that. So talk a little bit about, you know, one of your big things is email deliverability. Let's talk about that a little bit. How is that playing in today and how are you leveraging that to your advantage?
Yeah, it's definitely getting harder as far as even the past 3 months. I mean, I know Google announced their whole thing for hosting. So it's gotten harder. Really what you need to do, and I've been preaching this for a while, a lot of people have been preaching this, is you have to get off the primary domain. You have to buy alternate domains. So maybe like for Mediafly, it'd be like try Mediafly, go Mediafly or something like that. Right?
Mm.
And maybe a year ago, you could get away buying like 10 domains, 20 boxes. But, you know, with the increase of basically the what's changed in terms of deliverability as far as going to spam, whatever, it's just a lower threshold for getting reported to spam, right? So we just have to spread the risk a bit further. Every customer we onboard, we buy about 100 domains, 200 inboxes. So if we're going by Google's 0.3% spam rate, very few, you know, if 0.3% of the inbox get reported, I still have a decent amount of inboxes going out that I used to set down this morning. And as far as advantage, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just we're always testing stuff. We're always breaking things and figuring out what works. Like sometimes our client inboxes go down. We find a solution. Okay, we can make that info once and then we just keep it. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would never think of that, but that's certainly a great tip here. So you mentioned AI. Tell me what your feeling is. We've asked a lot of the guests about AI and sales. Do you think it's helping? Is it too early? What's your view on AI right now?
I don't think it's going to save. I think it's going to do two things, right? One is obviously someone like someone like myself or someone who's performing well, like they'll figure a way to use AI to do whatever they're doing better, right? But people who are not performing, it's just making their messages seem worse. Like I'm sure you get messages where it's like, oh, I saw you went to this school and you know you have a dog named this or whatever. Like that type of message doesn't really work. And I think that's what people think of AI. So I don't think we're at a point yet where AI can completely replace human messaging. Like there still needs to be human component figuring out like when do we insert AI, when we make this work. But that's my prediction. Like, I think in the future, maybe 2-3 years, it might replace messaging. It's like, it might not be involved. But so now I think there still needs to be involved. So.
But you should be, if you're in sales today or sales leadership, you should be dabbling around in it and trying to figure out how to make your job more efficient. If at all possible. Any particular tools that you like or are a fan of?
Yeah, we use Clay. So that Clay. We use for personalization. Yep, Clay. And we use that for personalization, but also for list segmentation. So if I have a list of maybe, like I was mentioning earlier, like a VP of sales list, right? And we want to segment by their specific industry and specific sub-industry. A lot of tools like Apollo or ZoomInfo, they may not tell you the sub-industry, like at least to the granular level that you want it to be. Like you might say marketing agencies, but won't say like SEO or website agencies. So in those situations, we use AI to like, we use AI. Clay is basically like a fancy spreadsheet. But we use AI to segment. So that's been very helpful.
Love it. And then so what's your feeling? Obviously, we know what you're going to say, but I mean, why should companies consider outsourcing SDR function to an agency versus just building your own kind of dedicated team internally?
Yes, so I had this discussion on another podcast recently, and I don't know if that's released yet, but I think it's very dependent on each company, right? Like some companies, if you can hire multiple SDRs, that's a great talent pool to push those SDRs into the closing roles. Like they understand your product, they understand your brand works, they understand how it works internally. So that's a good reason to have SDRs. Where I think it doesn't make sense and where a lot of our clients are at is like they might have one or two account executives and they might not even, you know, it's between us versus one SDR, right? It's not like us or three or five SDRs. So in terms of just having one SDR, if you have one SDR, he's not experienced. He doesn't have someone else to listen to. Like if you have two SDRs calling together, they can at least have some feedback. We kind of understand what's working and get better. Mm-hmm. For us, it's like we have the experience. We come in, you know how to do this. And if you hire one SDR, you know, you might want to get promoted. There's no space to get promoted within a small startup in some cases. So mm-hmm. we're not trying to get promoted. You've been doing this for a while. This is your business. So it's just really what works best for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point because usually that SDR function kind of evolves into an AE, right? They get really good and then they get promoted out. And then you have to start over again and train new people. But with an outsourced firm, you know, you'll know you'll have that consistency, you know, and that team that's getting to know you as you go along. So what's the business model at Cold Email Hackers? How do you guys typically get paid?
Yeah, it's a flat retainer because we do work with a lot of startups. So part of what you're, I guess, paying us for is to figure out the playbook. So these startups, a lot of times, they don't have an outbound playbook. Most of their customers come through like network, referrals, or like inbound, and they don't know how to write out a messaging. So we're figuring out how to write the messaging and then how to scale the messaging. So kind of back to the previous question, like why hire SDRs? There are a lot of cases where we work with customers maybe 6 or 12 months, figure out the playbook, kind of figure out what works, and then they want to bring it in-house and have their SDRs run the same. So that's kind of our model here. It's like figure out the messaging, figure out how to scale it. If you want us to keep running it after, we can do that. But if not, we'll help you off.
That's pretty good. And so what's your typical engagement length these days?
Yeah, I would say we don't do long-term contracts. They still month to month. But I would say in terms of how long people usually use this for, a lot of times it's just for playbook development. So I would say in those cases, about 6 months, 6 months or so. And we have some engagements that we've had since the beginning. And that's been almost 2 years, I would say.
That's great.
So,
any success stories or case studies or anything you want to tell us about in terms of some of the successes you've been having?
Yeah, so my website has a few, but the biggest one I would say is for one of our sales tech clients. So they sell an intent tool, and we ran that exact same process I was telling you about. It was segmenting and taking the time to, you know, write out the messages one by one. And we did reverse. I'll have a video on this as well. Like I can post a video on my LinkedIn to this. But basically, we got in quarter four of 2023, we got 300 leads or so off this process. Just like figuring out at small scale what works and then using GPT to take that same messaging and then just apply it to a huge list of messages. So
that's awesome. And then the sweet spot in terms of customer ICP for you, who you might want to work with, is what's the typical size?
I would say nothing over 200 employees. That's even kind of stretching sometimes because I feel like at that point they kind of have some playbook developed. Anywhere from 15, I would say most of our customers are between 15 and 50 employees, and some are like 150, 200, but 15 to about 200, I would say.
Awesome.
Yep.
And then if folks want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to kind of find you?
Best place, I'm sure we'll have our LinkedIn on here, but my LinkedIn page is always getting you kind of the things I'm posting about. Our website is coldemailhackers.com, and there's some more information on case studies, like what we've done, videos on our process, and just better understanding.
Love it. And then, so is your typical customer marketing? Is it marketing leaders or is it the sales leaders that typically buy your service or both?
Honestly, a lot of times it's founders, especially at the early stage. But then at the higher stages, I would say a mix of marketing and sales. A lot of times we're in.
Got it. Awesome. Cool. Anything else we didn't get to? I know we got together pretty quickly, but what else is kind of top of mind for you? Anything else you're excited about?
I would say top of mind, I guess topics we didn't cover. I would say the biggest thing is, you know, anybody listening who's trying to improve their own outbound, like whether it's me or someone else, is to stop trying to shortcut it. Like I talk to a lot of startups and they're always looking for that next like AI hack or whatever. But the secret to the outbound campaign usually comes from talking to your customers and then looking at what you've already sent, kind of understanding why it didn't work, and just doing the legwork before you try to scale it, right? Like I talked to a lot of people who were talking about scalability They're like, oh yeah, we can't do this because it's not scalable, but you have nothing to scale in the first place. So like, stop trying to think about scalability. That's the biggest thing I would say to anybody listening to this who's struggling.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And we've heard that a lot. You know, folks are looking for this silver bullet or some, you know, quick workaround to just all of a sudden open up the floodgates. And more so than ever before, I agree with you. It's you really have to put in the work.
Yep.
And I think your point is really important. Like, talk to people who are happy customers and why they bought your solution to begin with, and then kind of reverse engineer that into your messaging. Right. And then be really smart about, you know, how you reach out, think about the deliverability, think about the messaging, and make it really personalized. And, you know, and I think the other important thing is that, you know, one thing we've learned is that things change so much so quickly that the skills that may have worked for you even just a couple of years ago might not be working for you today. So all the more reason why someone should turn to you and your agency, because you're really like on the cutting edge and this is your specialization. And the SDR group that you have from a couple of years back, if they haven't up-leveled their skill set, they're trying the same kind of old tactics that are now no longer working.
Yep.
So I think there's a strong case for your business out there. And I think you're going to be super successful. And certainly I'm going to try and refer as many people that I can over to you. And really appreciate you coming on and telling us, you know, what's going on in the kind of prospecting world today. Let's have you come back a little bit down the road and see how things are progressing. And but really appreciate you coming on. Justin Chi, definitely reach out to him. See if he can help you. I know he can. He's a smart guy with a great group of people working for him on the Cold Email Hackers organization. So reach out to Justin. Thanks so much for coming on. And let's reconnect in a few months and see how you're doing, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll also send you a deliverability guide you can send right as posts on the podcast.
So that'd be awesome.
Get a good idea. Yeah, because there's some infrastructure stuff, but I feel like the viewers could benefit from that, so I'll send them.
Well, I think that's good. Yeah, we'll definitely, you know, we'll be posting some clips out on LinkedIn probably next week, and we'll add a bunch of content to that, which will be good and very valuable. So love it. Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.
See you.
And thanks everybody for tuning in. Peace.